Well, good evening once again. Great to see you here with us tonight. And I want to add my welcome to the one you've already had. And it's no fun speaking to empty benches and empty pews. It's great to see smiling faces and people that want to hear the Word of God. And for that reason, we're really glad that you're here tonight. I do want to mention that during the course of my message, if you have some questions that pop into your mind, just make a mental note of it or write it down and feel free to talk to me afterwards or to somebody else that's here in the meeting. But your questions are really valuable. There's no such thing as a silly or a stupid question. When it comes to learning from the Bible, it's important to ask questions. So really glad that you're here. These meetings continue on until Friday evening. Every night starting at 7 o'clock, just for 45 or 50 minutes. Now this evening I'd like to read from Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. And it is great to see the young guys here in the front rows. And the offer about the $5 McDonald's gift certificate. I don't have the cards here. I guess I better bring them some night so you make sure you know that I've got them, right? So I'll show you that on Friday evening, if you can tell me the various disasters, not the accidents, but natural disasters, I'll explain a bit more about that. If you can tell me what a famine is, an earthquake, and tonight I'm going to look at a volcano and explain what a volcano is. And then there's a few other ones coming down the pipeline in this week that's coming. So if you can tell me what those things are, not only will your teacher be happy, but you'll get a $5 gift certificate. Because I really enjoy having you guys here and listening. Now Luke chapter 17. It's not the shortest verse in the Bible, but it's not far off from it. The shortest verse in the Bible has two words in it. This one has three. Luke chapter 17 and verse 32. Remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. Lot was a man in the Old Testament that had to get out of the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Because God was going to destroy them, and his wife didn't follow the instructions, and she turned into a pillar of salt as judgment fell around her. And so that's Lot's wife. Now, Revelation chapter 20 and verse 15. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now from these two simple readings this evening, after I tell you a little bit about a volcano, we're going to look at Lot's wife as we have in Luke chapter 17 where it says, remember Lot's wife, and we're going to notice a pillar of death. But when we come over to Revelation chapter 20, we're going to highlight from those very solemn and serious words in one of the most solemn verses in the Bible, something about the book of life. So very simply, a pillar of death and a book of life. And actually, each one of us is going to have something to do with either one of those. When I talk about a pillar of death, I'm not talking, in your case, a real pillar made of salt, like the case of Lot's wife. But in a figurative sense, every person that rejects Christ as Savior will be known by their loved ones, known by their family, and more importantly, known by God as a person that was not saved, as a person that never accepted Christ as Savior. And in that sense, there will be a monument, a sad monument of death, remembering the person that never got saved. But in Revelation chapter 20, the book of life, God wants every person's name to be written in that book. And of course, the moment that a person is saved, their name is written in the book of life. And the people whose names are not written in the book of life, they don't get into heaven. And the people whose names are in the book of life, they do get into heaven. So you can see it's very simple, yet very serious. Your getting into heaven, as we've been already hearing, does not depend on your good works and your good life. But has there been a time when you accepted the Lord Jesus as your Savior? The Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross of Calvary, He died to save us from our sins. He died to save sinners. And the person that believes, according to John chapter 3 and verse 16, has everlasting life. Their name is written in the book of life. And so I hope that every person's name is going to be written in the book of life. Now this evening I want to tell you a little bit about a volcano. And likely you smart guys and girls already know what volcanoes are. But volcanoes are just simply where there's a big opening from the inner part of the earth. That sounds pretty scary, doesn't it? Well, it is scary. From the inner part of the earth, that there's a big opening comes up, and usually it comes right up through the top of a mountain. And then eventually the pressure gets so high and the mountain blows its top, and out comes the fire, and out comes the ashes and the dust, and out comes the hot steam and the lava. And, well, you've all likely seen pictures of it. But you don't need to remember all that about your description of a volcano. If you just remember a volcano as being the top of the mountain that spits out fire and steam and smoke, that'd be good enough. Now, I'm thinking of a volcano that took place in the island of Martinique in the year 1902. I know I wasn't there, but I have been very close to Martinique. And there's those here in the meeting tonight, and you've seen Martinique from the northern shores of St. Lucia, about 25 miles across the strait there. You've got the island of Martinique. And so on a clear day, you can very clearly see Martinique. And in the clear evenings, coming back from the Forest Air Ridge, over the mountain ridges there in St. Lucia, you'd see the lights turning on the hill curves there and the mountain curves in Martinique. So Martinique was a neighbor island to St. Lucia. But Martinique has a mountain that's 4,500 feet high, about 1,500 meters high or so, and it blew its top in 1902. Now, one thing about a volcano is usually they have some warnings. It doesn't just happen overnight. And this was the case in Martinique. There was weeks leading up to the tragic day of May the 8th, 1902, when the mountain was spewing out smoke and ashes. And at times the top of the mountain was turning reddish orange as people would see the crater heating up. And sometimes the ash would filter down on the city below, St. Pierre, a city of 28 or 30,000 people. And in fact, sometimes those sulfur-laden ashes would poison the water sources, and the cattle died as they drank the water, and some of the people were poisoned to death as they drank the poisoned waters. And so this volcanic mountain was giving its warning that one day there's going to be something happen. And so the day before, on May the 7th, it was rumbling a little extra louder, and the top was a little extra redder and a little extra orange, and the puffs of smoke were a little extra dark and were going a little extra high, and the ash that was coming out was a little extra thick, and there was a whole lot of people thought, what is going on here? But then they started to realize, this has been doing this for 2 weeks now, and so nothing is going to happen. The governor of the city said, everything's all right. And some people, though, started to leave, said, I don't like the looks of this. And as they were leaving, other people were coming in from the countryside, thinking there's going to be more safety, more security inside the city. And so that's what happened on May the 7th. On May the 7th, there was a big boat in port, and it was getting loaded with sugar from the sugar cane that they grew there on the island of Martinique. When the ship was about half done loading, the captain said, I am leaving this island because I don't trust that volcano. I'm getting out of here. And he wasn't giving any clearance to leave, but he left anyways. And those who were working in the docks, getting paid for the work, they didn't have any more work to load the boats, and so they were angry and very upset with the captain. But the captain said, "I'm leaving." And the other people said, "We're staying." You know, that kind of reminds me of the gospel. And this isn't my main point about the volcano here tonight, but it reminds me that as we think of the dangers that are ahead of every person that's not saved, there are some people that are saying, "I want to get to know Jesus as my Savior. I want my sins forgiven because I don't want to die with my sins still on my record. I don't want to meet God as a sinner. I want to be in heaven someday. I want to accept the gospel. I want Jesus Christ as my Savior because he died for my sins on the cross." And then there's other people who say, "Well, I'm not going to get too excited about it because I know there's lots of time, and I've been hearing this all of my life, and everybody else is out there having a good old time, and so I don't need to come to the meeting tonight. And if I have come to the meeting tonight, I certainly don't need to accept Jesus Christ to be my Savior because there's lots of time left." And that's what happened the day before the volcano. Some people said, "There's danger. I'm getting ready." Other people said, "There's nothing to worry about." And they went on with life. And so in the morning of May the 8th, in 1902, the worst possible thing happened. Those who were in their boats further out at sea, in a safer place, they saw exactly what happened, and it was recorded. They saw the top and the whole one side near the top of the mountain just blow out. And there was a big cloud that went horizontally over the city of St. Pierre. A cloud that was filled with hot steam that was 1,000 degrees in temperature, full of ashes, full of fire and lava. And all that settled down on the city, things that were 1,000 degrees settled down over the city, and everything that was flammable caught fire. And those who didn't die in the fire in the city, they died from the burns of the lava that was coming down and the smoke and the ashes that was settling over them. It was a terrible, terrible day in the history of volcanoes. Even until today, it ranks about number 3 in the total number of people that died because of a volcano, and that's about 30,000 people. When I was in St. Lucia years ago, I read a story of a captain of a boat that was fairly close to the island of Martinique when the volcano happened. And he got out of there. And he went over to St. Lucia. And he said to the people there, "I have just escaped from the gates of hell." Well, he didn't, because nobody ever escapes from hell. And that's why we want to make this very serious tonight. We want everybody to think about your soul. "I have a soul to be saved. May this truth be engraved on my heart and my mind while I'm young." And if your soul isn't saved, your soul will be lost. And so I read the story of, or not the story, I read of the lady called Lot's wife. We don't know what her name is. But there's a little verse in the Bible that the Lord simply said, "Remember Lot's wife." Now Lot's wife lived in the city, or in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. They were wicked cities. And those cities were destroyed, and she initially escaped with her husband, but she looked back and she turned into a pillar of salt because she didn't really want to do it God's way. She thought she'd just do it her way, and she never made it to safety. That is the basic story. I want to just ask a few questions by way of explaining a little bit more about the story The first question I want to ask about that city is, why were those cities destroyed? It says with fire and brimstone. Now, brimstone, my understanding, is just kind of like sulfur rock, whether they're big chunks of rock or little stones, but likely they're on fire that God rained down from heaven. And so not just like a volcano, but a similar effect. And so that's why I'm talking about that one tonight in connection with a volcano. Why were those cities destroyed? Well, in chapter 18 of Genesis, we read the answer. It said their sin was very grievous. And almost every night here we talk about sin, because sin is the basic problem of humanity. Sin is the biggest problem of humanity, and sin is your biggest problem in your life tonight. Now, you might think you've got a lot of problems, and you'd be saying, sir, if you had the problems I got, you would not be saying that sin is your biggest or my biggest problem. It doesn't matter what your problem is. Sin is still the biggest problem, because sin is taking you away from God, away from life, away from the golden streets of heaven. And sin is taking you further and further, closer and closer to the day of judgment, the judgment of God against sin. That's why I'm saying that sin is very serious. And it said here in the book of Genesis that their sin was grievous. So God is always going to judge sin. The second question I want to ask is, how were they judged? And I've already just mentioned the little bit about the fire and the brimstone that God rained down from heaven. It must have been quite a thing. I felt hailstones coming down. They were cold. They were frozen. They're ice. But I've never felt fiery chunks of sulfur. There's a verse in the Bible that says that God's going to rain upon the wicked fire and brimstone. There's another verse in the book of Isaiah that says God's breath is like fire and brimstone. And so when God decrees that he's going to judge, everybody needs to beware. Not like the people that got destroyed in the volcano in St. Pierre, Martinique. Everybody needs to get out of the path of danger. They need to get to safety. They need to get to Jesus Christ and accept him as their Savior. So, how were they judged? The next question is, what happened to everybody in the city? Well, we read first of all about Lot. It says he lingered. But then he got out and he was safe. There's people that talk derogatorily about Lot when it says that he lingered. There are those that maybe would suggest he didn't want to leave Sodom and Gomorrah. There are those that would suggest he really didn't want to leave behind everything that he knew in that city. And so he lingered to take another look at it. He lingered longingly just to be able to stay a bit longer in that city, but I don't believe that for a minute. He had just finished talking to his family, to his daughters, to his sons-in-law, saying, we got to get out of here. And his sons-in-law said, you are a jokester. They laughed at him. They mocked. And they thought it was a big joke. And maybe at that point his daughters were in a moment of decision. Are we going to stay with our husbands or are we going to get to safety? Out of loyalty to the men we married, are we going to jeopardize our own souls and our own lives? Are we going to lose our own eternal safety? You know, there's a lot of people like that in the world today, that they don't want to get saved because they're afraid of what a family member might say, what they might think, or what they might do. And there are Christians, or people that become Christians, and they do pay a steep price when they get saved. Because sometimes they're ostracized. They're kicked out of the family. Nobody wants them in their family anymore. I don't know what your family situation is tonight, but I want to encourage every person That if within that heart of yours you have a desire to have your sins forgiven and to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, don't let any family member persuade you from fully accepting Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners who came into this world, who came to save you. Because there's so many people and they listen to family. And when they get to the end of life, they enter eternity alone. Nobody enters as a family into eternity. Mom enters by herself. Dad leaves this world by himself and enters into God's eternity. Each of the children, they go out one by one. And each one gives account of themselves to God. And so that's why it's a dangerous thing to listen to family. And so Lot lingered, it says. And I believe Lot had such a love for his family. He liked to look back and say, aren't you going to come? We don't have much longer. Please come. And maybe he took time to say a 20-second or 10-second prayer for them. And while he was lingering, the angels got him and said, let's get out of here. So Lot lingered because he was concerned about his loved ones. You know, there's moms and dads that pray for children here. There's neighbors that pray for their neighbors. There's all kinds of prayer going on for people that are not saved because they want to see you saved. As sort of like Lot wanting his family to come with him. And we want every one of you to come to heaven and to be with us at the end of life. But then there's not only Lot, but there's the ones that stayed. They lost their lives. They're forever gone. And I think of the ones that stayed behind and lost their lives. There are some from the same family. Some escaped to safety. Some stayed behind and lost their lives. Isn't it sad, moms and dads, to think that while you're going to be in heaven someday, maybe not all of your family will be in heaven? Isn't it sad to think, children, that your mom and dad will be in heaven and you might be left behind for judgment? So the ones that stayed behind, they lost their lives. I want to just think of Lot's wife just for 2 or 3 minutes. She's another one in her story. So the ones who got to safety initially were Lot, his wife left the city, and his 2 daughters. But it was only Lot and his 2 daughters that got to complete safety and security. God had said, the angel had said, get out of here, don't look back. And Lot's wife did what she was told not to do. She looked back and became a pillar of salt. And so the Lord said, remember Lot's wife. And so the application, the comparison between Lot's wife and you tonight is, you must do what God says. God says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. God has said, whosoever believeth shall not perish but have everlasting life. God has said, the person that enters the door will be saved. The Lord Jesus said, him that comes to me, I will not cast out. And so there's a whole lot of things that God wants you to do tonight. No, you can't do anything to be saved, but you can come and you can accept the Lord Jesus. You can receive the Lord Jesus. And Jesus, it said about him that those that received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, the children of God. And so if you disobey that tonight, you will never be in God's family. You will never be saved. You will never get to heaven. When I think of Lot's wife, I think of her great privilege. She likely talked to Uncle Abraham a lot of times. And maybe Uncle Abraham talked to her about his great faith and about the great God that he can put faith in. Likely Abraham told them how there's only one life that's worth living, and it's a life that's going to follow God. And so she had a great privilege to know God in a very personal way. But I want to think of her choice. She made a deliberate, definite choice. I'm going to say no to God. I'm going to turn back and take another look at the world. I want to be part of that back there. I don't want to obey God. And it's just like people tonight, maybe even in our meeting. You know you need to be saved, but you're saying, I don't want to get saved tonight. I don't exactly want to repent of my sin tonight. I don't want to turn and leave my sinful life behind. I still want it. I still want to live for a while in my sin. But when I feel, when I'm a bit older and I feel like I am dying, I'll be saved, but not tonight. Oh, it's such a dangerous thing to go on disobeying the gospel and disobeying God. And this lady made a choice. Can I ask you, what will your choice be tonight as you sit here in the gospel meeting? In a few minutes, you're going to leave. Will you be making the choice, yes, I'm going to accept Jesus Christ to be my Savior? Or will your choice be, no, I'm going to go out. I'm going to live as I've lived. This sounds like a bunch of rubbish to me. I don't even know if I believe the Bible. And all kinds of excuses are being made by so many people. Oh, tonight, please, make this important, wise choice. I'm going to accept Jesus Christ to be my Savior tonight. And he has said, the person that comes to me, I will not cast out. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing to be saved this evening? But Lot's wife made another choice. Her choice was to say no to God. And I want you to think of her end. She became a pillar of salt. And I don't know if the centuries of and millenniums of rain have dissolved that salt, and I'm not sure if there's other monuments there that have replaced that pillar of salt. But think of her end. She died never getting to know God. She died not being on God's side. What will the end be of people that decide they're not going to get saved and they die not being saved? We read in Revelation chapter 20 that whosoever is not found written in the book of life, that those people are cast into the lake of fire. I'm so glad that I wasn't there in Martinique and felt the heat and felt the lava, that 1,000 degree lava and ash that was falling. I'm so glad I wasn't there just to feel the heat that was coming out from the center of the earth. And I'm so glad that I will never be cast into what could be the center of the earth, where hell could be and where the lake of fire could be. We don't know where it's going to be, but we know what it's going to be. It's going to be a fire that will never be quenched. It's going to be a darkness that you'll never see through. It's going to be a suffering that's going to be eternal. And oh, the suffering of the soul that dies without Christ as Savior. Cast, it says, into the lake of fire. I hope that never happens to anybody here. I want to just tell you about the book of life. You don't need to fear the lake of fire. You can be saved. Your name can be written in the book of life. Jesus said one time to his disciples, you rejoice in that your names are written in heaven. Is your name written there? In that page, white and fair? In the book of thy kingdom, is my name written there? Because if your name's not written, you won't get into heaven. You say, well, how can I have my name written in the book of life? It's as simple as trusting Jesus Christ to be your Savior. Even tonight, young boys, young girls can be saved. Older men and women can be saved. Everybody needs to come just like a little child, the Lord Jesus taught. Leaving behind all of your ideas and just coming as a sinner that needs God's salvation, knowing that there's no hope for you and knowing that Jesus Christ is the only answer. Will you trust Him to be your Savior tonight and have your name written in the book of life? So I ask the question, the pillar of death or the book of life, which describes you tonight? Let us pray.